Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every day at 6, we talk about what is on 1053thefan.com. Corey Majors from the KNC Masterpiece has the top story up right now. If you check out that website,
whoa,
with the little... Little Majors Monday, All About Execution is the headline. Coming up here in 20 minutes, we have the NFC Power Rankings. How about this story out of Philadelphia real quick, though? You see Eagles fans are burning Carson Wentz jerseys today.
Nice.
What the hell? Did they stay up all night drinking?
Nice. Who's their backup? Is it McCown, did we decide?
They're crazy people.
Put him in. Put McCown in, guys. The season sunk.
Not that anybody deserves a championship as a fan, but they really didn't deserve a championship.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. They did have a great year, though, and they won the damn thing. And now I think they're going back to being the semi, I don't know what it is, erratic organization. I mean, because they're flying all over the place. The head coach is saying things, and now the players are talking about how we're showing up late, and the coaches aren't calling the right plays, the belief in Carson Wentz. You know, it's just chaos around there, and we can drink it all in and enjoy it, can't we? Because, hey,
yeah,
maybe the Cowboys aren't going to play great football the rest of the way, but it's not going to take that good of football. All you have to do is be healthy and have things sorted out by week 17. Going into the playoffs then for wild card weekend.
Win 7 games so you can win this division and get on in there.
How many is it going to take? All right, Corey Majors is in here now. Getting set for the KNC Masterpiece, which is coming up after the Cowboys Hour tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We go on right at 8 o'clock. It's awesome. Always fun to go on after you guys.
Tank on the Cowboy Hour, by the way.
Woo!
It's Tank and Robert Quinn. Yeah.
Wow.
Tank and Quinn.
I'm predicting 3 significant stories and at least a half dozen headlines coming from Tank Lawrence, locked in for an hour with Babe Laufenberg. That should be awesome. Okay, but the Majors Monday today, all about execution. What kind of stuff are you writing about there on our award-winning website, 105thefan.com, Corey?
Man, I had somebody on Twitter reach out to me and say, man, all we heard all week was execution, 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 and tonight they are. Like, tonight the Cowboys actually are executing the passes. They are executing whatever play is called. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I guess for the Philly offense, they weren't. Like, that Philly looked bad.
Yeah.
And so their lack of execution was a positive for the Cowboys. Sure, they forced them with some of their pass rush that we hadn't seen all season, but it was execution. The Cowboys did. The Philadelphia Eagles didn't, and it worked out very well for the Cowboys. Very favorable.
Big Garrett guy.
It's
huh?
It's really
big
weird.
Big execution guy.
Well, obviously, I mean, when you go back and watch, you do see more motion, more play action, more of those things that lend itself to creating more space and open plays. And actually, there's really one play that really did buy in on that for me, and it was a throw to Cobb it wasn't the slant. It was a play where it was the same route. Cobb was running, and so was Amari Cooper, but Cooper was short. And because Dak faked to Cooper low, it brought in 2 linebackers down, and it made a big gap of space for Cobb to get a really tight window throw. So it's just all they did. We saw against Green Bay, how many times did Cobb drop the ball? I mean, those are the execution moments we're talking about. You get the ball thrown to you, catch the ball so y'all can keep the drive moving.
Well, you know, I do think execution is important. And it only works, though, if you're healthy and focused. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think you can execute with hurt guys, but I think the biggest thing this week was getting healthy. And I think the game plan wasn't significantly different. You know, there were some wrinkles, though. So if we're talking about the coaching, I'm like, yeah, better. But not, I think, what it needs to be in order to go take down the Super Bowl. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the coaching, I like what we saw in the first 3 weeks. Who doesn't? Because everything was all over the place. Everybody was everywhere. I guess maybe in the first 2 weeks of the season. And then what we saw the last 3 weeks just wasn't the same. And I don't know if it was because of health. I can't say that they decided to go against using motion and using play action because it was health. I mean, that's going to give you more space to throw through, but I think the talent's there. I do wonder what the difference for, and maybe it was health on the Eagles' part, the difference for the defensive side, why they were so amped up, why they were so impressive, and they didn't have this kind of look earlier in the season. I don't know where that came from.
My opinion on that is the talent is pretty much there. It's not there at the defensive tackle position. When they are showing after runs and stuff and you just watch the defensive tackles and nothing else, they're getting pushed around very easily.
Collins was good this week. And Woods was
I'll tell
bad.
You this. At times, yes. There are other times where he gets totally dominated.
He flashed. He had some big flash plays.
There are flashes, but then there's other times where you're like, damn, he just got dominated by the interior. But the talent is somewhat there. I mean, Lawrence and Quinn are very good combination on the outside. Our linebackers should be really good. And yesterday, three of them, and if not four, were really good. And our secondary, we pumped up Xavier Woods after training camp. Bam, he showed up yesterday. We didn't pump up Jeff Heath, but the cornerbacks we thought would be solid and one would be good in Byron Jones. And for the first time, really, all year, it really finally came together. That's what's been... I don't know if surprising to me, but
I think this, part of it,
they should be better than what they showed until last night, where I'm like, okay, that's as good as you guys can be. Now, can you sustain that?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, right? Now, I think on the defensive side of the ball, we probably saw them get pretty fired up, especially when the Eagles had to go one dimensional. You know, I don't know if the defense is really feeling that good about themselves today if the Eagles have been able to run the ball for four quarters.
Well, fortunately, the offense, I mean, they put the touchdowns on a platter for them. You know, they said, hey, we got you, you got two plays for your second touchdown. Good luck, 14 yards. So they were able to score, put the offense out in front. So then the Eagles had to chase the rest of the game.
9 games left, 4-3. How many victories do they end this season with? Are they going to become that team we thought they were in training camp in the first 3 games, or is this going to be give and take, ebb and flow all year long?
Oh, that's a Cowboy. That's a Jason Garrett mark right there, isn't it? It's for it to never be exactly what you think it's going to be. So I don't have faith that the team can be can finish the season out on a run. I think they can win enough games to get themselves in the playoffs. I'll never said anything else about that. Colby thinks that this was the turning point for the whole season. And he said that on Friday before going in, and I was already pessimistic about it anyway. So I'm going to stay pessimistic until they prove otherwise.
I mean, they just have so many good teams to beat. I guess the good news is Philly is trash.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Oh, are you talking about the team or the city?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yes. I just wanted to make sure.
What is the most likely win number at this point? 9?
9. I think 9.
And if it's not 9, 10 or 8?
Yeah, 10.
Okay.
Yeah. I think
that's enough.
Yeah, 5-4 is definitely doable, and 6-3 is doable. You start looking at Minnesota and Detroit and Chicago and Buffalo and New England. I mean, yes, they do
win
have
two
what?
Of those, and you're good.
Giants.
Most likely. You have the Giants.
I'll tell you what, man. You go Washington. 7-3 to finish this season, because if we get to 10, that would be 7-3 in your final 10 games. That would be freaking awesome with this
7
schedule.
7-2, right? Because they got 9 games
left. That
would
get you to 11.
Well,
I'm counting
the win?
Counting this win, because going in, you're 3-3, so I'll count this one and go 7-3 would be a pretty spectacular finish with this schedule.
Does anything in the regular season matter to Jason Garrett? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, for Jerry, he just needs to get into the playoffs and go further. For Jerry, to keep his job, he needs to go further in the playoffs. So
that makes the regular season matter, because you better get there.
All he wants to do, though, is stay healthy enough, not expose the offense or defense too much to the opponents, and just keep everything in line so that in the playoffs they can do something that's manageable still. That's what matters to him.
I just hope they don't approach it that way, because I think that happened to them against the Jets, where it was, we're good enough that, you know, it's more about what are we going to do later. Like, let's wait and hold things. And it's like, you're not that good. And your record's not good enough. So when you play the Giants next week, there is no, well, don't show them. Because I think that, that's step one to ruining your game is, all right, those are some really good plays. Put those 3 away.
Well,
let's not try our very hardest. Let's just... kind of try.
This is a little bit for a later day, but the undefeated 49ers and then the Saints and the Packers, who you don't hold tiebreakers with, who only have one loss. You guys know the last team out of the NFC, and I think amongst all teams, to make it to the Super Bowl who didn't have a bye? I'll give you a hint.
Giants. Your
quarterback is blackballed out of the NFL.
Oh, that 49er team?
That's how long ago it's been. Like, it's happened. And I think for
doable.
Jerry Jones and for other people, they look at the history of the wild card and go, look, it's been done plenty of times. It can be done. And I say playing in the wild card round. But it is, The last 5 or 6 years, that's the tough thing about these playoffs. If you haven't got the bye in the first round, you have not made the Super Bowl.
Well, they're not getting a bye. They're not going to get a bye.
If they went undefeated the rest of the way,
that's not going to happen.
Then you would probably get a bye.
What kind of odds would you get on that right now if you're going to take that action? 40 to 1? 100 to 1?
Maybe 100 to 1.
500 to 1?
You get pretty good odds on that.
All right, Corey, we'll see you in a little bit.
Thank you, sir.
Good stuff here today. You can read Majors Monday, all about execution at 105 through thefan.com. How good is Dak now? How about he is the top statistical quarterback in the league? Number one in the NFL in total QBR, just ahead of Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. What would it mean if he could go another 9 games holding his spot as statistically number one in the NFL?
A lot of money.
Could you? Yes, a lot of money, no doubt. Maybe $40 million would come into the focus real easy. Could he get the rep as actually being a top five quarterback by the end of the year? I mean, there's no doubt right now he's playing the best football of his career. It is significantly better than last year or 2016.
By reputation, is there anything Dak could do this year to make you say he's better than Russell Wilson?
No.
Make it to the Super Bowl.
Pat Mahomes.
No.
Drew Win Brees. The Super Bowl.
Yes. You know, but just saying Dak is playing better this second, it's hard when you get into Hall of Famers, right? Because you'll do the same thing with Tom Brady.
I say yes. He has to beat these guys in the playoffs.
Okay.
Now, he beat Russell Wilson last year, so I'm not saying he's better than Russell Wilson, but that's a step. I think that Gavin asks a good question. It's going to be very tough, but ultimately what it comes down to, the reason Tony Romo wasn't ranked very high by many people is he lost when it mattered the most.
Yeah.
And so if Dak wins when it matters the most, and is it fair? Maybe it's not fair. But if you're the quarterback and you beat whoever it is, Aaron Rodgers come playoff time, and then you beat Russell Wilson, and you beat Tom Brady, or you beat Pat Mahomes, you become that elite quarterback that now you say, yeah, he's top five. He just took on three of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in do-or-die situations, and he dude all the time.
he dude.
Well, next-gen stats from ESPN quantifies it like this. Dak is the only quarterback to outperform expectations in every game this season. Based on our completion probability model, his performance tonight against the Eagles, 77.8. His expected completion percentage, 65, which is a completion above expectation of 12.8%. Consistently every game, his players are in a position to succeed. And based on the entire history of the league, Dak Prescott is outperforming what the average quarterback would do in these spots by, you know, in this last game, 12.8%. It is absolutely massive. The tight window throws, the balls down the sideline to Amari Cooper are absolutely elite. Sure, there are a few plays every game where you're like, well, the ball placement there wasn't perfect. Most often it's on crossers or slants where it's a little bit behind, right? And that laying it out in front of you, that's Dak's weakness still. But all of the other stuff that he's doing is so much better compared to average that he is being measured at significantly better, and at times in the top three or even number one in the NFL in some of these statistical models. I think Mahomes and Wilson are playing at such an incredible level. I won't compare Dak to that. Aaron Rodgers is probably still deserving of it.
He's kind of back.
You know, and
he's kind of back.
Yeah, and then you would say Brady and Breeze, but you know,
Watson.
Yeah, and Watson. I think that's where Dak is with Watson right now at six. Tied maybe for six, looking on the outside into the top five, but just barely.
And I would say this. I liked what Collinsworth said yesterday, and this is the first time he's ever done this in his career. He threw a ball that it was a tight window, and he jammed it in there, and it was a completion. I can't remember exactly who it was to. It might have been to Witten. And he's just like, he wouldn't even attempted those throws the last few years. Now, maybe he did a little bit last year, but Collinsworth is correct. This is the first time ever we've seen him, I can do this. I see a small window, but I'm going to jam it into that small window. And so this is, to me, another reason why he's elevating into, like, yes, he's a top 10 quarterback, top five. I'd love to see him get into that category if we're really discussing that at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But, like, this is the reason now he's gone from middle of the pack into me top 10 is because now he believes and he's doing things that he didn't either believe or they wouldn't let him even attempt in his first 3 years.
Okay. So what if a new season starts tomorrow? These guys are healthy. Ooh. You want him or Dak? Rivers, Ryan, Roethlisberger. three guys that have lived in the top 10 for it seems like a decade.
I'll take Dak right now. Yeah.
Over all three of them.
Even though Rivers is tough because he didn't have a horrible game, but they're 2-5, man.
And it's the same thing with the Falcons. They're terrible.
I don't want Matt Ryan. He's in a boot. You made me pick right now.
So. Matt Ryan's playing pretty well.
It's going to be tough. He's in a boot, though.
I guess I would take Dak. Yeah, well, I think he's saying for a full season.
No, I know. A healthy one of those three.
I'll
homer it. I'm not accused of being a homer too much. I'll homer it and say Dak over those three.
Well, and that's the thing is, for the first time ever, there's nothing homer about that. If you're going to pick one of the other guys, you have to defend your pick. Based on the way they've played this season,
yeah.
If you would take Matt Ryan or Phillip Rivers, you're the one who's got to try to defend that pick.
Yeah.
Not the guy who picked Dak.
I think you just feel like in a short sample size that if you're taking the guy that's had it done, you throw him into any random scenario, because they've proven it.
And that's what's different to me about Dak this year is this is the first time that I watch Dak play. And you would say, okay, you're starting a team. You know nothing about what you're going to ask the guy to do. And I say, Dak can do it. I believe that now. I didn't believe that last year. And that's why he is where he is in all these statistical categories. He's more aggressive than he's ever been. Yet he's taking less sacks. He's the most accurate he's been. His fundamentals are the best they've been. What's not to like today about Dak?
Not a whole lot. I think you could, if you were nitpicking, you would say he has more interceptions than games, but those are some weird picks.
I'd tell his receivers to start catching the ball.
To me, I would say his weakness right now for me is making adjustments at the line of scrimmage that he believes in.
Yeah. You're going to the run a little bit too much. Is that what you think?
I think pre-snap, I think he still is not elite. When we're talking about Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, right? They have more experience, but he's not elite at looking at the pre-defense and knowing exactly what they're trying to disguise.
I would agree with that. There was one last night where and then Malcolm Jenkins is like, gotcha. Malcolm Jenkins came around the corner. You're not going to be perfect on those.
Right.
But I feel like teams are making him check based on the look into a run, and then they're like, okay, we know they're running now. And maybe, a little bit of game theory playing back at him might be.
He did a great one real quick. I can't remember the time of game, but it was near the goal line, not on the goal line, where he was under center, and he only had like 9 seconds on the clock. And he's like, I can do this, but I got to do it quickly. He went to shotgun. And was like, no, we're not going because they are bringing it all.
Oh, it's when he threw to Cobb and they almost scored.
Yeah.
Because he saw that he was going to have Cobb one-on-one. The guy was 8 yards off him. The middle of the field guy was coming and he went bang, 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 he needed shotgun.
He knew he could not do it from under center.
But the amount of improvement from year three to year four, it gets me excited thinking about, holy crap, is he going to have more off seasons like that? And whatever the issue is, I mean, he fixed things in such a profound way that usually would take years and years to get a handle on. Okay, NFC power rankings, it is just 1 week. How many teams would you still put ahead of the Cowboys? It's next in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Okay, that was a great win, and we're feeling good about the division. Where are the Cowboys ranked in this NFC East? Pardon me. Got a few extra carbonated bubbles in my stomach right now. Salute to the folks at Heineken. This Heineken 0.0 is so good.
It's fire.
I thought, man, did they accidentally put real beer in there? It tastes so good. So
if they ever accidentally put real beer in there, slide it this way.
Okay, well, you go try one for yourself, and you tell me if you can tell the difference.
Yeah, you might want to try one right now, bro. I think your lip might get a little numb.
Back in the game over here.
It went straight to my head. I feel like I was drunk for a second there.
Okay.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so segment's brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do it more. Fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the TOLO. Rubin and Associates. I'll tell you more about D&M Leasing and the Easy Lease here in about 15 minutes. But we got to do some power rankings here in the NFC. I do think there are six teams I'd rank ahead of the Cowboys in the NFC right now. And talking to you guys at the break, Mike, it seems like you might be in a similar boat over there.
Yeah, I had to do it quickly, and I struggled at 6-7. But I ended up, because they went to the Super Bowl last year and they just made a trade for Jalen Ramsey, I went ahead and put the L.A. Rams at sixth overall in the NFC. The great thing is that doesn't matter that would be the team left out of the playoffs because I don't have the Philadelphia Eagles ranked higher, which means the Cowboys get in, and one of these teams that I have ranked higher would not be in the playoffs.
I don't want to play the Rams in the playoffs.
So it's undefeated San Francisco. It's what, Seattle? And we all got the same team, right? New Orleans.
New Orleans won.
Minnesota?
New Orleans, San Francisco, Green Bay, Seattle, Minnesota, L.A. Am I missing anybody? I did not rank Carolina ahead.
I'm going to go real weird here. I will give it to the Rams, even though I'm questionable on that. I will say the Cowboys are better than the Seahawks, even though the Seahawks are ahead of the Rams. And I guess part of that is just based on what happened last year in the postseason, and I think the Rams with Jalen Ramsey, because what I don't want in my life, if I want to see the Cowboys win, is a postseason game against the Rams now that they have Jalen Ramsey. Because your ultimate advantage is, which one of you guys is going to cover Amari Cooper? And now their answer is that guy.
Second best receiver in football.
And I'm not even saying that Amari Cooper couldn't go for 100 yards and a score or two. He could, but I would rather him match up with a normal human than Jalen Ramsey.
Absolutely.
Who did get beat a couple times deep by Julio Jones, but that was an awesome matchup to watch those two go at it. And Ramsey's one of those guys that they will say, you got him, you travel, he's yours all day. Go get him. I don't want to play them.
Okay, so what do the Cowboys have to do here to get back to the top of the NFC? And do you think it's possible with nine games remaining? San Francisco's got to lose a couple, because if they keep winning with that good of a defense, I don't think I'm going to be able to put anybody ahead of them for the rest of the year.
For me to start saying that the Cowboys are better than sixth or seventh in the NFC, all it takes is playing up to their capabilities for a couple of weeks, because the Cowboys at their best, let me ask you this, the Cowboys of yesterday,
yeah,
where do they rank in the NFC? I bet that's higher than sixth. Be that team for more than 1 week. Is
we do get to see them play L.A. and Minnesota later in the year. I mean, those are two teams that I have just ahead of them, so they have the opportunity to beat those teams. Gavin, the only way I would consider the Cowboys the favorites, and I know this is a long way away, is Drew Brees gets hurt again, so they're going to play in the playoffs with Teddy Bridgewater, and I know they're undefeated.
Yeah.
But let's just say Drew Brees, or let's just say Kamara or Thomas. Now, I watched that game. The Saints are Sean Payton.
Sean Payton's he's a monster.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's everybody makes fun of, not everybody, but people make fun of me when I say, hey, I'm not saying all the time, but every once in a while, why don't you just go six offensive linemen? Guess who does do that? Sean Payton. He's like, the tight end isn't going
to
do much for me here. I just rather have a sixth offensive lineman give my quarterback more time.
And it's not like you're telegraphing a play by doing that. You can run or pass with a sixth guy.
It was a 40-yard bomb that he threw with the sixth offensive lineman in the game to make sure that he gave his quarterback more time for something to develop. So I would say San Francisco, I'd have to see that teams can score on them.
They've given up 64 points.
Hey, right. Like now we see that there is a weakness to this defense. You can score 25 or 30 points on them, or that Jimmy G starts telling off a lot and you're like, man, it's going to be tough to get to 20, but if you can get to 20, you have a chance. And then Aaron Rodgers needs to do what he's done quite a bit the last 5 or 6 years of his career, besides against the Cowboys. Start getting hurt at the end and not be the same Aaron Rodgers that we see in the regular season.
Yeah, you know, I guess you're 4-3 and you are what your record is, but if things don't get all weird against the Jets when you're banged up, you're 5-2. So I kind of essentially have the Cowboys in my head like tied with the Minnesota, Seattle, Green Bay camp. You know, and then I think New Orleans might have something really special on their hands.
It's interesting because I don't know how you could have them tied with Green Bay when they were losing 31-3 with about 18 minutes to go in the game.
No, you're right. I guess maybe I'm discounting the Packers a little bit too much from their early season success, because it seems like now that the offense has come around, they might have.
That last game that Aaron Rodgers against the Raiders, holy cow. Threw for 5, and did he run for the other one? Yeah, he ran for the other 6 touchdowns. I mean, he was perfect. He was Aaron Rodgers again.
They are dialed in.
You just hadn't been healthy, I guess.
All right. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Last week, there was quite a bit of talk after the Michael Irvin discussion about Antonio Brown. And it actually became a legit news story. It's hilarious how that can happen sometimes. And there we had it. Well, over the weekend, it came out that there is actually interest now in Antonio Brown picking up. As a result of looking into the Antonio Brown Cowboys story, Jason LaConfora reporting a return after the trade deadline is possible.
Of course it is. He's good at football.
How could the NFL, with everything that he's been accused of, evidence has materialized in, let him continue to play. That's just not consistent with the NFL that I know.
He hasn't been convicted of anything, right?
Really?
That hasn't stopped them?
I know, but we don't want it. We want it to stop them, don't
okay.
we?
Okay, well then let me ask you this question. How could any NFL team bring in Antonio Brown and subject any of their employees to the complete chaos that is going to no doubt quickly follow? I can't imagine being a team. I can't imagine being a league.
You have to be. You just have to be desperate for the reward of it. I mean, the Patriots, honestly, if something new hadn't popped up, he'd still be a Patriot.
Okay.
They'd been like, okay.
If you're a team, you have to call up the NFL first, right?
Yeah.
Because I just think that if you got desperate, let's just say you had a major injury and Kansas City Chiefs lose Tyreek Hill. And they're like, you know what, man? Antonio Brown is there and we got a chance to win it all. Wouldn't you have to call up the NFL first and go, hey, we're about to negotiate with Antonio Brown. We're going to sign him, but we don't want to waste our time if we're going to sign him and then the next day you're going to put him on the commissioner's list.
Yeah, and I don't know. Do you think the commissioner's office would tell? Or do you think they'd say, you make your own decisions?
Well,
and, you know,
I don't think
they'd tell the Cowboys.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't. I think that would be the right thing to do. Like, hey, we won't get into these discussions if you tell us that it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
But if you tell us, look, we're not going to do anything to Antonio Brown until something happens court-wise or legally, then I wouldn't have the Cowboys go after him. I think the Cowboys are fine as long as they're healthy at wide receiver. But if you're a team desperate for a wide receiver, I can see why you do it. But, yeah, I mean, he is crazy, and I don't think he's controllable.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, not at all.
I think it's clear that he's either made enough money or got to a point in his life where he does not need the NFL, and that's a tough spot to be in if you are, you know, trying to keep guys in line. Okay, Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting. He had the news. This was a while back, a couple hours ago. Big news in the NBA with 48 hours to go until the season opener. Zion Williams has surgery to repair torn meniscus in his right knee. He is expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. So a very significant bummer, not only for the New Orleans Pelicans and maybe for people that bet on him to win Rookie of the Year.
And that's multiple Maverick games, isn't it?
I believe so.
They play him very, very early.
Yeah,
they play
I was
game
actually
two.
Looking to possibly get tickets to that because my kids, you know, I mean, I think kids
Zion
right
fever.
Now. Yeah. And so I was like, man, we can go see Zion play one of his first games against the Mavs. So
yeah, he's going to miss 3 games against the Mavericks according to that schedule because they also play him December 3rd and December 7th.
Oh, wow.
So there's a chance that he misses three Maverick games. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to pile up wins, Zion is going to be a player that I believe instantly is going to be a 2010 threat and a guy you're going to have to account for every game.
If you knew he was if you could go back and you knew, like you could read the future, and we don't know the whole future, but we knew the future that he's already going to have a minor knee surgery and miss the first 2 months of the season. I wonder if New Orleans would still be, and all the teams would be like, yeah, no doubt, he's still the first pick in the draft.
I would, right? You have somebody else that you would take over him?
Yeah, I would have taken Ja Morant anyway.
I am now that he's already having a knee surgery at 19 years old, and his body—he's the second largest. He has the most weight on his body besides Boban. There's not a human being in the NBA that weighs more than Boban, who's 7'3". Who is 6 or 7 inches taller than the guy. So I just wonder, a knee surgery at 19
yeah.
with probably that much weight and the violent way that he plays is concerning.
Yeah, I would think, man, this is heading towards a Blake Griffin direction real quickly. Maybe a Blake Griffin plus a Greg Oden.
You wouldn't take Blake Griffin out of that draft class? If I said number one will be Blake Griffin, do you want him?
I'd have to look at his draft class.
That draft class had Steph Curry and James Harden. So
No. I'm saying where Zion was picked. If I said, hey, at number one overall, you can have Blake Griffin or one of these other guys, you'd take Blake Griffin, right?
The guarantee of Blake Griffin right now. I mean, you're talking about a guy who can't make the playoffs
in
the East.
But Blake Griffin's career
It's nice.
Versus not Zion, anyone else in this class.
I did like Ja Morant a lot, and I still do.
I like R.J. Barrett a lot.
Yeah. I mean, but I think the point plays that when you're talking about a draft grade overall based on what they put on film in college, it's not close.
Yeah, you're right.
So you would have to be filling in all of this anxiety about his ability to stay healthy, and that's significant for me. And then you got to weigh into me And this is the future of the NBA. Who can affect the game from behind the line?
Yeah.
Who can really dribble and see the entire floor and maybe be 7-8 assist guy if you were going to have him run the team? And I don't know. I do like Zion's court IQ, but he's never going to be a three-point shooter, and he's never going to be a distributor. And I just think that the Rick Carlisle system of perimeter basketball, the way the Warriors have been playing, the way that Greg Popovich is going to play, that's the future of the league more and more.
I'm with you. It's tough to build your team around Zion Williamson. He's awesome to have on your team as a secondary or third player. It's tough to say we're building our whole system around a guy who is a great attacker and a dunker.
Yeah.
And you're just like, but what else? And I know, because see the Greek Freak, somebody say, well, no, but the Greek Freak is like a point guard. He's a 6'11 point guard. Zion can't do that, at least yet.
Yeah.
We've never seen him be able to point guard it.
No.
He can pass and he can dribble, but he can't be a point guard type of guy.
I mean, he could be a great part of a big three. You know, I think Zion is awesome, and I can't wait to watch him play basketball. But the injuries and the lack of a three-point game, I think – should be weighing super, super strong. And
it all starts tomorrow night. The Pelicans actually.
Oh, really?
Play. It's Pelicans, Raptors for the early game, and the late game is Clippers and Lakers.
Awesome.
For the first two games of the season.
We'll find out what's coming up on the KNC Masterpiece before we hand it over to the Cowboys Hour with Tank and Robert Quinn coming up at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Mesquite Mitsubishi has a brand new Outlander Sport SUV starting at $16,900, y'all. Visit mymitsu.com.
Oh, yeah, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And here comes the KNC Masterpiece. They're in studio to tell us a little bit more about what's on their mind and what's coming up on their show, which starts at 8 o'clock. These guys are the best. And you're really going to enjoy them after the Cowboys Hour, which is coming up at 7 o'clock with Tank and Robert Quinn. You're going to love that. Holy cow. Brad Sham, KT, Taylor.
Let's get it.
I'm also awesome. Here to defend the honor of Zion Williamson and the idea that he can't shoot the three-pointer.
Okay.
That is a misnomer.
You think he's going to be a make-it-rain guy from out there?
I mean, no. I don't know about that, but there's this notion that, like...
so you just
like,
kind of almost sort of want to defend him a little bit?
Yeah, pretty much.
You were so outraged, you wanted to be like, I don't know.
Hey, he can be a mediocre three-point shooter. He shot like 2.5 a game, 34%. That'd put him right in line with most of the Mavericks. So, I don't like the idea. Some people have the perception that he never shoots three-pointers, and I wanted to say that he could drop a three-pointer in on it, yeah, every game.
His shot chart from his last game, his deepest shot was from 5 feet.
You're a big Duke fan?
Yes, I am a big Duke fan.
Mm.
So, of course, I'm going to defend.
Go for it. Yeah, I mean, I you know what?
I want
to believe Zion's going to be amazing. That's a heavy ball, though, coming out of his hands. You know, the way that
he's
it hits the rim.
He can handle it.
Yeah, oh, got it. Okay, so what is coming up on your guys' show? Can't wait to get home and kick my feet up and listen.
Well, right out of the gate, what went right last night? A lot of things, but maybe... Are you going to just say everything for 16 minutes, or do you want to pick out your number one thing?
I'll say it right out of the gate, and then just let y'all sit back and debate from there on.
Okay.
It's all a lot of fun to listen to y'all
sporting
argue
was
with
good.
Each other.
They did good sports.
He did.
See how short of answers you can give tonight.
Sure that'll like go
Pat
well.
Shermer.
See how Kevin reacts about 8 minutes in.
Just say everything.
And then at 8:20, were you more excited that they turned it around, or were you more frustrated that this team was missing for 3 weeks?
Both.
And, yeah. Okay. Well,
come
you get to pick one.
Jeff, don't encourage him. He's going to do that now.
Uh-huh.
I got you, Corey. I'm much more frustrated that this thing wasn't here for 3 weeks, because one game's not enough to get me excited. I need three or maybe four games. You know, it's going to be a tough run after the Giants. It's Vikings and Lions and then Patriots. Oh, can you win three out of those four? And then I'll actually start getting excited about them turning it around. But, you know, last night I think they played a really bad Eagles team, and they played incredibly well. But I think that can happen at home when your backs are against the wall. You know, can they maintain their focus? The stuff Dak's talking about where they weren't practicing hard, they need to manage success. All of this is real hard stuff for young guys to get a handle on.
And I compared it to this. I really felt like the Mavericks came into that game and on NBA down 0-2 in a series. Now, the Mavericks are the better team. I mean, sorry, the Cowboys are the better team.
I was like, hold on, we're switching gears?
No, the Cowboys are the better team than the Eagles, so it doesn't make perfect comparison. But we've seen so many times in playoff NBA basketball, that team is way better than this team, but the team that feels like they're the wounded dog and this is it ends up winning this game where you're like, they're not that good. And so the Cowboys did that. They played awesome. Maybe they are that good. Or maybe they have to be pushed up against the wall as a wounded animal to actually fight that hard for a whole game.
The comments from Dak, that's concerning. What a low level of success to get so cocky. Hey, we're 3-0.
Hey, we made the playoffs last year, and we've won 3 games.
Yeah, you haven't made the playoffs in back-to-back years in 12 seasons. Let's focus on doing that.
Well, it doesn't take much. The line between good and bad in the NFL is so thin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just a little bit of complacency, and the next thing you know, a team that was dominant is playing with just a little bit less oomph, and it shows up in all sorts of horrible ways.
Look at the Chargers. They scored the game-winning touchdown 3 times yesterday, and they lost. So, like, that shows you how quick it can turn
on. Chargers of them.
God,
I didn't get a chance to check that out.
Oh, yeah,
that
was really that was in the late game. Screwed.
So, so Chargers.
Okay, so Urban Meyer stuff. I saw you, some Twitter activity over the weekend with you involved, Hagee. This is something people are trolling you about now, I gather.
Absolutely,
they really are.
He's the next coach of the Cowboys.
He says he'd be willing to do it, right? That this isn't a bad job. This is a job that any coach would love to have.
Well, this puts me in the awkward position of becoming Team Garrett all the way because I would much rather have Jason Garrett coaching this team than that bag of flaming garbage that
he's
is
no
Urban
Coach K.
Meyer. Yeah, he's no Coach K.
Well, I mean, every time that he's realized he's not going to have a quarterback, he's come up with a health condition.
Yeah.
So, like, how's he going to handle an NFL team where the players make more money than him?
Plus, you'll find out really quick what his thought is on Dak.
Yeah,
because in
the
training camp, he's like, oh, heart attack. And you're like, oh, man, we better abandon ship because he does not believe in Dak Prescott.
That's the tough thing about Urban Meyer is he's a great college coach because he's unbelievable at recruiting and winning the recruiting battle.
Yeah.
Nick Saban is that too. And I know Nick Saban's a very good defensive coach also. But we saw if Nick Saban can't have the best players in the NFL where it's more of an even – you can't go recruit better players than the other team.
Same with Spurrier. So you've kind of seen it across the board. At least with Urban Meyer, I was most disturbed by the idea of him like being in charge of any semblance of – you know, developing minds or young people, at least at this level, you know.
Yes.
He can deal with adults who...
He should be in pros.
Hopefully by this point, they should make their own decisions. I know that's not necessarily how it works, but it's the same thing with the Briles idea of him getting to go coach at a high school, I thought is just...
Oh, yes.
Inconceivable. And
yes.
At least
it's uncomfortable a little bit. Yes.
I think one of the... when you make the Saban comparison, some of the great coaches, the things they've been able to do is clearly get across the message and clearly have things organized so that people can understand them and understand what their roles are. And then they also have this element of fear within the organization where people fear them. And Saban didn't have that kind of support to get even the quarterback he wanted. He wanted Drew Brees. And they were like, nah, that guy's not good enough to be a Dolphin. And he was like, all right, I'll see y'all later. And so I think whenever you look at the guys like Urban Meyer, wherever he's gone, he instantly says, this is the message. Here's how the organization works. Everybody will follow. Garrett's kind of already there, right? He's already established that foundation of what the message is. It's just the execution on, you know, game day is different.
So is Urban good at that stuff, or do you think, you know, he was at Ohio State and is a good sales guy?
He really protected the one dirtbag as long as he could, didn't he?
Yeah, that's a misunderstanding.
And I like that.
Though.
You know, let's keep that stuff down.
Yeah.
Hernandez?
No. Day? Oh, yeah. No, not Day's the new coach. The
Zach
assistant.
Smith?
Yes.
Yeah,
never forget, he did, in fact, actively recruit Aaron Hernandez after he had been accused of murdering those two people that he eventually was convicted of. And people are like, he didn't murder somebody until later. Not true. He was investigated. Well, I guess that technically is true, but it wasn't his first murder investigation. He was investigated for attempted murder in high school. Urban Meyer was like, that's fine. We'll go ahead and take him on. He's a good X's and O's coach, but to the point y'all were just making, Garrett already realizes he's not the most important person, and this team keeps on moving. Urban Meyer, he can't handle it not being the most important person.
I just think generally guys from college with that much success, you're going to get all of their ego, right? And
100%.
All of their importance, self-importance sometimes.
Yeah.
And if they're not an absolute genius at doing stuff, then it's not worth it.
I think he's good compared to, I don't know if I would say.
I need Lincoln Riley.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Yeah. That's
come on.
Sure.
That's the level of tactical genius that I want.
Give me the one who's going to give me an X's and O's advantage. I don't need the one who's done anything because of his recruiting. I want the one who wins on paper.
If Lincoln Riley wants the most money in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals are helping him out.
Yeah.
Because a guy who couldn't win in college is now a 500 coach 7 games into
the bad team.
Making it happen.
Yeah, so... That probably, when you're looking at Lincoln Riley going, well, would that all, could he all? And then you're like, man, a coach that, I'll just be honest, I watched Texas Tech.
He wasn't a good coach.
He failed up. Yeah. It's really a bizarre scenario. Yeah.
But it's working out. Like, Arizona might have made, we'll see, but it might have made the right choice.
If you only had to get one contract done here at the bye week, which one would it be, Dak or Amari, and why? Or you could go with
Lincoln Riley.
Gavin, I just don't care about either.
Oh, yeah. Can I do that one?
Can we do Lincoln Riley in the bye week?
Yeah.
Mine's Amari, because I just think that travels no matter what. Like, new coach might demand new quarterback. I think Amari Cooper can catch pass from any human.
If new coach, like, as of today, because I was in a much different place with Dak 2 months ago even. If a new coach today said, I want to go a different way at quarterback, wouldn't you tell him, well, then you're not going to coach here because you're stupid?
I would assume so. But then again, after, you know, what happened with Arizona, for example, I know Arizona was a poor team, but it feels like, I wonder if that will set the templates for maybe coaches having more power when they roll in to kind of do what they see fit. Personally, I want Dak to stay as the quarterback, but I would be curious if, like, let's say you failed out and you didn't even make the playoffs, or you got rolled in the wild card round. Maybe, I mean, let's not pretend like we don't have a impetuous at times owner who would just say, fine, just blow it all up. Whatever. Give me Lincoln Riley. We'll figure it out. Give me somebody, whoever.
It's a good topic. I think Dak this year has become certifiably good enough that no front office would be like, we're going to even entertain that idea.
Yeah, I also agree, but then I also wonder about the economic side of it. Is, you know, like $35 million or whatever it turns out to be.
If you thought it was rebuild time.
Exactly, versus, you know, what would you be willing to pay even your first-round quarterback, knowing that you reset the clock for 5 years and you can have cheaper quarterback for five years?
If it got so bad that your draft spot was setting up and there's a number of guys who could be quality in the middle of the first round at that position.
Dak's impressed me so much this year that I would say, I don't care. We're going to come out of the rebuild in a half decade, and he's going to be here for another half decade.
That's fine. I get the sense that that's probably what the front office feels, but right. I sometimes think predicting them 100% seems to be a fool's errand at times. So,
what percentage of the Cowboys' issues are fixed coming out of yesterday to you guys? Corey, what do you think? Percentage?
Fixed, like, completely for the rest of the season? Zero.
Yeah.
I think there are some things, because we don't know what this team actually is now, because they've been Jekyll and Hyde the entire season. But I think zero was fixed, but there is a Band-Aid on it through the bye week. And that, man, is there anything as motivating as a week off or a couple weeks off? Because those guys looked like they were motivated to go give everything they had. So if you get that opportunity to find that motivation again, then I think you really have something. But I don't think anything got fixed.
I'd say 18%. And to Corey's point, I think it remains there for 3 more weeks up until you roll up against Minnesota. You know, bye's not going to show you anything. Beating the Giants not going to show you anything. What do you do against a team that's better?
What if I promise healthy offensive line?
For how long? For the first half?
For the year.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
Is it no doubt division champs?
I'd be happier with a healthy offensive line, yeah.
62%.
I think it's still no doubt division champs, actually. Even as unhappy as I am right now, I still think it's no doubt division champs because this division is terrible. Jason Garrett, in his last 12 games against the division, is 11-1. He beats them.
This happened in 2011. It's happening now. The Eagles crowned the entire offseason. They've built this team that's incredible.
Was that the Vince Young year?
Yes, that was. Yeah,
when
that was the dream team.
The backup quarterback called them the dream team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were loaded that year. You know, they were the team that got awesome.
But it was the backup quarterback.
I know.
You can't be like, I'm here to back up the quarterback, and we're the dream team.
The media agreed, though. I mean, their praises were sung. Yeah.
It's like, they were crowned. Vince Young said it, but...
So what's gone wrong with the Eagles this time? Theories? Are they dead in the water?
They can't cover.
I think Fletcher Cox is done as an important player in the NFL, so now they don't have a star on defense. That's one.
Potential regression of QB, right?
That's a good theory.
Seventh in QBR. I think Wentz has played pretty well.
Nelson Aguilar pull up on that one ball. I think they're afraid to catch.
Bad linebackers. even the defensive front's not what it once was, and the secondary is atrocious. It's hard to win if you can't play
secondary
any
is bad.
Defense. It's oh my god, it's bad. Oh, it's terrible.
Well, all right,
and
gentlemen.
Poor Skandrick. Skandrick had to take
thanks
the rap
a lot,
for him.
Tavon Austin. You got him cut.
Got a guy cut from the team.
I mean, let's face it.
Who are they going to cut next
week? Better team.
They cut Zach Brown 2 weeks ago. They cut Skandrick this week. Somebody's getting cut next week.
You know what's interesting? And it's only if you have former ties to the NFC East, because the one guy got cut because he went after the former Redskins quarterback. This guy got cut, and he used to be on the Cowboys.
Ooh, who do so they play next week? They
if
play,
you have any ties with the Giants, you're screwed this week.
Yeah, that'll be tough.
Who Here else they has come. A band?
The KNC Masterpiece is coming up at 8 o'clock. Cowboys Hour with Robert Quinn and Tank Lawrence is coming up next. Thanks to Gavin Spittle, a program director, Tim Collins, operations manager. For Jeff and Mike and Lucius, I'm Gavin Dawson. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Salute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.